bartender, line up some loose tonight. She's on fire, she's so hot, I'm no liar. Burn at the spot, look like Mariah. Take another shot, hold it, drop, 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 drop it.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Fun stuff. Fun couple of hours. We haven't really gotten into the nuts and bolts of the game. We'll do some of that coming up a little bit later on tomorrow as well. We'll be live from the indoor practice facility, Dabo Swinney's press conference, where he'll tell us that Louisville doesn't matter and Boston College is the only thing that matters and best is the standard and all that stuff. Watching the game right now, I forgot about the drive where Clemson scored. I don't know if people realize. I'm going to go back and look at the number of times that Clemson had guys running wide open that they missed. That Clemson could have scored 60. Hey, Deion Kane's two steps ahead of the receiver corner trailing, and Kelly Bryant underthrows him by about 2.5 steps. That was a really good play by the corner. However, I mean, that was an easy touchdown. There were a couple of those that were easy touchdowns. I mean, I'm looking at Clemson's output right now. First of all, how about Kelly Bryant completed. Hunter Johnson completed a pass for no yards to Will Sweeney. Nice. Other than Sweeney, 9 different guys called passes from Kelly Bryant. 9.
Was it all 9 scholarship guys?
McLeod, Renfro, Kane, Overton, Thompson, Fuller, Richard, Higgins, Feaster. And then Will Sweeney was 10.
So maybe, did Amari Rodgers catch a pass? Maybe that's one who didn't.
Amari Rodgers did not catch a pass.
Thompson had a big reception in that first half.
Didn't he have like a jet sweep or something, and it was a penalty? I think there was a penalty.
I think he did, yeah.
That erased it. 9 different guys on scholarship called passes. That's a big deal. To spread the ball around. You put the ball in your quarterback's hands and he's not locking onto a guy, that's big. Now, Ray had 10 targets. Kane had 8 targets. He had 4 catches, 29 yards. And I said Deion Kane would get $150 because Alexander was out. As soon as I saw the depth chart, and it didn't have Alexander's name, I'm like, Kane's going for $150. The reason that didn't happen is very simple, Kelly, / audience. And that is that if you look at it, pretty much every play that wasn't a short yardage play, and even sometimes the short yardage plays, the corner was backed way off of Deion Kane, and many times they actually rolled coverage up to the top side. So what that means is basically what they did, if you're a video game fanatic, you know that, all right, let's say cover 2, normally what happens is your corners kind of stay, you know, within 2 to 8 yards of the line of scrimmage, maybe 10, depending on the play call. They're going to stay in that short to intermediate area. You can do different things with them at the line of scrimmage when you do that. And the safeties are going to be up top. Well, sometimes what happens is you're going to roll coverage, meaning that a cornerback ends up high in deep coverage. Now, that doesn't just mean you're running cover 4 or cover 1 where they're man-to-man, they're just running deeper than the deepest or what have you. There's a little more nuance to it than that. But there were many times where, whether it was cover 3 or cover 2 or cover 4, well, cover 4, they're going to be deep anyway, really cover 2, cover 3, that you saw cornerbacks from Louisville roll into deep coverage. So what that meant was they were getting over the top of Deion Kane with sort of a halo around Deion Kane, where instead of having him matched up with a corner and then having a safety over the top, they just made the corner like 15 yards off of him, or maybe 8 yards off of him, but with a clear mind of going backwards. They were not going to let Deion Kane get free. They were not giving one-on-one opportunities to cornerbacks very often there.
Mm-hmm.
On anything that was particularly short, like a 3-step drop back shoulder, wouldn't have happened because of the way they were playing coverage. They actually did a smart thing against Kane in coverage of that Alexander. I thought it was pretty good. I have to go back and look at how many times that happened, but I saw it a lot in the first half that that's what they ended up rolling coverage to the top side.
Quack, speaking of the passing game, if I had told you, yeah, we're going to play 3 quarterbacks against Louisville, we would have thought that was bad,
bad
right?
Bad news, yes, bad news.
Now, of course, no one could have projected that it would have been in garbage time, but I just think that's funny because I remember you and I having that debate. Will 3 quarterbacks play against Auburn? And we both said, if you play 3 quarterbacks, you lose.
Yep.
And I mean, look, if you're a Clemson fan and you tell me that from the very beginning you projected that this would happen, that all of this would happen, that Kelly Bryant would be as good as he was, then frankly, you're lying to me.
You're lying.
But I do think a lot of fans were maybe a little more high on Bryant than we were. And look, we were just being, conservative. And maybe had Cole Stout too much on the brain. But like the caller said earlier, it has been just the most pleasant surprise possible with how Kelly Bryant has played. That being said, and we can get to this now, Kwok, or in a little bit. If you compare his numbers to three other Heisman hopefuls, it's interesting.
Let's do that coming up in a second. I want to get Paul and Enery's call first. 654-ROAR if you'd like to join us. 654-7627 on the Northland Communication phone lines today. What's up, Paul?
Just fine, Kwok. How you doing today?
Doing well.
I got three questions to ask you. One is, when do you think this cycle of kids are going to get through and this targeting is going to kind of go away instead of seeing it, you know, several times every weekend or whatever? When do you think that cycle of kids is going to get through where they may be able to not target anymore? You know, because you've always been taught, leave with your shoulder, your helmet, or whatever. How long do you think it's going to take a cycle of those players to get through before we stop seeing it all the time?
You know, I'm a
think it ever happen?
Or? I'm a skeptic on this. I think we're already seeing it become less of a factor. But there are just some plays, because of the nature of the game, and especially as the athletes get faster and their quick twitch abilities get more refined and a sudden change of direction happens, and you're asking defenders to do an awful lot more than they used to in terms of dealing with athletic players like a Lamar Jackson. Against top-flight athletes, there is always going to be the probability that something like this happens for two reasons. Number one, because defenders have to pick a path way before an offensive player does. So a defender commits, and when you commit, you got to go all out or you're getting beat. You can't go halfway with your offensive player going full speed, so you still have to play full speed. And the second thing is that with a guy like Lamar Jackson, you can't leave anything to chance. You can't let up and hope that somebody else with a better angle or with a better pad level or whatever makes a tackle and then have him score a touchdown. So I think with those two things, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I don't think you'll ever eradicate it totally, which is why I think ultimately they're going to have to change the rule, because they're going to see that it went way, way down, that the instances of targeting went way, way down over time, but there are still a certain amount, and we can't just eject people from the game for doing something that is going to be sustained over time. We've got it down to a manageable level. Now let's try to figure out which of these should be ejection worthy and which of these shouldn't.
That's a good point. Well, I got two more questions. Are you back on the bandwagon now since you picked us third in Atlantic Coast? I mean, in Atlantic, are you back?
Yeah, Paul, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, I did an about face, and I picked Clemson to win the Atlantic at the ACC football kickoff. Given more time to think about it, the issues with Florida State and Louisville were too, they were too much to overlook, even with Louisville's schedule. And so, yes, I'm squarely back on the bandwagon now. You can rest assured.
That's good. That's good. We need you back on. But let me ask you a question. This weekend, Alabama and Vanderbilt's playing. Okay, I heard all week there were no way in this world that Vanderbilt was going to beat Kansas State. No way. That they've not faced offense like this all year. You know, they're not going. Are there a chance that Alabama could go into Nashville and lose? And I'll take it off the question, off the air, buddy. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. Yes, there's a chance, but it's not going to happen. You've got Alabama's full attention now.
You heard all last week on our show on Out of Bounds that Vanderbilt would beat K-State.
And yeah, we both called.
We both picked Vanderbilt. Only three of the 16 people picked Vanderbilt, and I think it was you, me, and Matt Connolly.
I can't believe I got to thank the state of Tennessee, kind of. I was 2-1 picking teams from the state of Tennessee
Memphis.
This week. Memphis and Vandy, and then Tennessee would have been the trifecta had they just been deeper than the deepest on a play where every moron knows you should be deeper than the deepest, you idiot.
Or don't miss three field goals. I mean, that would be nice as well, Tennessee. God. Butch Jones, I don't have your back anymore, Butch.
No.
Get out of here.
did you see my tweet? It happened right before kickoff when I saw the play. A true life champion would have been deeper than the deepest.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, man.
That's true.
There's got to be some standards for life champions. We'll talk about Kelly Bryant in a second. I want to get one more phone call. Christian's up with us next. Hey, Christian, what's going on?
Hey, I got a good question for you, and I'll take it off the air.
All right.
But, how do you think Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence is going to work out next year if Kelly Bryant leads Clemson to a national championship?
Christian, that's excellent. I appreciate the phone call. That's a great question. Don't make me think about this.
Oh, my gosh.
Kelly Bryant, how are you going to do this? How are you going to tell Kelly Bryant now? Look at his – all right, you've got his stats. Let's look at his numbers right now. Again, this is three games, so we're just doing snapshot, but we're not projecting he's going to do this the whole season. I'm sure there's going to be ups and downs. He's already had some downs, frankly. Like, give us his stat line for this season.
Here's the thing. I think Clemson fans have been very impressed with Kelly Bryant so far, and he has played well. But his stats are not that of Rudolph, Mayfield, or Darnold. And let me tell you, let me give you the stats right here. Kelly Bryant, so far through three games, 733 yards passing, 68.7% completion, two touchdowns, one interception. That's the bottom line so far. He's thrown for two touchdowns in three games. Now, he does have 162 rushing yards and five touchdowns on the ground. His five touchdowns on the ground are the most of the four quarterbacks we're going to talk about. But his two passing touchdowns are much way down compared to the other guys. So he's accounted for seven total touchdowns, Kelly Bryant has, through three games. Okay?
Okay.
Sam Darnold has thrown for 1,002 yards, 66.7% completion. So his completion percentage is below Kelly Bryant, but he's thrown for 300 more yards.
All right, Sam Darnold is 9-2 at Las Vegas Superbook today.
Okay, to win the Heisman?
To win the Heisman, 9-2.
He's thrown for seven touchdowns and six picks.
And he's, that's too many.
And he's
that's
rushed
too many
for one touchdown. So he's been responsible for eight touchdowns and six interceptions. Kelly Bryant, seven touchdowns, one interception. That is a lot of picks.
That's a lot of picks. I don't love that with Darnold.
All right, next up, Baker Mayfield has thrown for 1,046 yards, 76.8% completion. He has the best completion percentage of the four. And I think part of that is against UTEP, he was 19 of 20 or something, which is impressive.
Yes.
He's thrown for 10 touchdowns, zero picks. He has 0 yards rushing and zero rushing touchdowns. So he has 10 total touchdowns and zero interceptions.
That's really good. Mayfield's the favorite right now at Las Vegas Superbook. He's 5-2.
Mason Rudolph has thrown for 1,135 yards.
And basically took half the game off against Pittsburgh.
He did.
Mercy.
Most yards so far of these four. 72.3% completion, 11 touchdowns, most touchdowns so far, one interception, as well as 18 rush yards and two touchdowns. He's been responsible for 13 touchdowns and one interception. So total touchdowns, it goes Rudolph 13, Baker Mayfield 10, Sam Darnold 8, Kelly Bryant 7.
Okay.
And it's really the passing touchdowns. Now, 733 yards is, Kelly Bryant has about 300 to 400 less passing yards than the rest of these guys. But he's thrown for two touchdowns. And Darnold's thrown for 7, Mayfield 10, Rudolph 11. Yes, Kelly Bryant has 5 on the ground, but he still is behind these guys in terms of total scores. So his numbers have been very good, Kwok. Don't get me wrong. I mean, 68% completion is very good. His completion percentage is better than Sam Darnold's. But overall, the production level, I just don't know if it really compares. If you add Kelly Bryant's rushing yards, he is at about 900 total yards of offense. If you add in his rushing yards to his passing yards, which is still 100 yards behind Sam Darnold.
So you got Mayfield 5-2, Rudolph is 3-1, Darnold is 9-2, then your boy Lamar 5-1.
Oh, I didn't even put Lamar in this.
That's okay.
Comparison.
Well, Kelly Bryant's better than Lamar, so we don't have to worry about
it.
I played him on the field.
I was just taking undefeated quarterbacks.
He outplayed him on the field in Lamar's house. Don't get it twisted. That is not an insignificant thing.
The house Lamar built.
The house Papa John's built. They remind you every step of the way. Saquon Barkley's 12-1 also. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and take a break. And we come back, we go back to the phones. I want to talk more about this game, more about who did what in this game. Also the fact that Kelly Bryant had the same number of incompletions in the entire game as Lamar did like in the first 18 minutes. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds as Hour 3 continues in just a moment.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
Unfiled tax returns, payroll tax problems, IRS levies, liens, garnishments, audits. Call the local lawyer who looks out for you and will get the result you deserve. David Green at the Green Law Firm. Call for a free strategy session at 271-7940.
Monday Night Football is back as Road Rage Live lands at Joe's New York Pizza in Clemson for a preview of the Lions at the Giants, plus a recap of all the college and NFL games. 3-7, Road Rage Live at Joe's New York Pizza, Clemson.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Link Belt equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair, in many cases right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
Hello there. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've got 22 houses, 3 golf courses, and 4 boats big enough to be houses. Government's shut down if I forget to pay my taxes.
Hey, we're broke.
My 2 cents are worth millions. My checkbook is the most wished for item on Amazon.
I want it!
When I tip at restaurants, the wait staff retires.
Yeah!
But how did I do it all? That's my little secret.
Courier service, here's your big fat check from mybookie.ag.
I'm kind of doing a thing here.
Stop pretending it's a secret. Anyone can win on MyBookie.ag. With 50% cash bonuses, great odds, and fast payouts, MyBookie.ag is a no-brainer.
Listen, kid, how much will it cost for you to be quiet?
How much you got?
Try your luck today at MyBookie.ag and use promo code RADIO.
When I first heard about the health dare, I was skeptical.
I was skeptical.
I was definitely skeptical.
My doctor said I needed to lose weight, but I wasn't sure if this was for me.
I'd already tried everything.
Other programs just weren't sustainable.
Then I heard on the radio how the health dare was helping all these people reverse their diabetes.
How the health dare was getting people off their blood pressure medicine.
How much weight people were losing on the health dare.
So with a money-back guarantee, I tried it.
I decided to take the health dare.
I took the health dare 90-day challenge.
That was months ago. In 8 weeks, I lost 48 pounds and 22 inches.
I couldn't believe it, but I lost 41 pounds of fat and 45 inches in just 5 weeks.
With the health dare, I lost over 200 pounds. But more importantly, I'm off my cholesterol and blood pressure meds, and my CPAP machine is in the closet.
It's because I took the health dare.
The health dare.
The health dare. And I dare you.
Book today at thehealthdare.com. That's thehealthdare.com.
Book your free consultation with a health coach at idaregreenville.com.
Whether you're looking for a rewarding career in healthcare, business, public service, manufacturing, or HVAC, Tri-County Technical College can put you on the pathway to success quickly. With campuses in Pendleton, Anderson, Easley, and Oconee, Tri-County Tech has the school and the location to make learning easier. Check out their website, tctc.edu, and get the answers for enrollment, academics, and so much more. Affordable education with limitless possibilities at Tri-County Technical College.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Can we just take a moment to acknowledge what's happening here, please?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Is Walt at Joe's New York Pizza today?
Walt is at Joe's New York Pizza today.
Go and eat pizza with Walt. God,
Monday Night Football.
I have so many leftovers in my fridge. I have to eat leftovers in my fridge. Like, I after being gone for a couple days and kind of, you know, just doing some different things for meals, man, this stuff's starting to go bad in my fridge, and it's got me a little concerned. If I was eating out tonight, I'd be at Joe's. I can promise you that. But I gotta eat these leftovers. I'm not a wasteful person. I got to eat these leftovers. Goodness gracious.
Look at you, being resourceful.
I know. I got back and realized, this is what my bananas look like. I bought bananas right before I left because I needed some fruit action. Bruh.
That's a brown banana.
Too many bananas. This is perfect, but tomorrow is going to be bad. So I have to eat like 4 bananas today. If you'd like some, there's some available for you. This hour is brought to you by Tiger Sports Shop. It's a store for the Clemson fan, by the Clemson fan. I bet you Tiger Sports Shop is hopping this weekend with people trying to get that gear, especially people trying to relive the Natty 1.0, because this year's looking like it might be Natty 2.0 and Natty Trip 3.0. I actually texted that to some friends.
Okay,
Natty Trip
3.0. I know I said it first, but I'm getting a little uncomfortable with how far ahead we're getting.
Who's going to beat Clemson?
Who's going to beat Pittsburgh did last year,
who's
so
gonna be Clemson?
There's that.
Pittsburgh was better, and we said that. It's a trouble.
Pittsburgh was better than what?
They were better than people thought last year. They were better than people thought.
Well, they're atrocious this year.
And they are an atrocity. Mason Rudolph was like, Pittsburgh, never heard of her. He has heard of Tiger Sports Shop because they're awesome. Julie does a great job there. Orange and purple for the Clemson fan. Buy the Clemson fan. Go buy and get your gear. All right, so home game this weekend, so you're going to be here anyway. Why not stop by? Downtown, 364 College Avenue on Highway 123, 1102 Tiger Boulevard. My buddy Matt gets in on my personal text line. He says, first of all, good show. Thanks, buddy. Is it crazy to say Kelly enters the draft after this year instead of battling with Trevor?
No, I'm staying here for at least a couple more years. I will not be entering the draft. Let's squash the rumors. I will be exhausting all my eligibility and not entering the NFL draft in 2018.
It's not crazy, but
no, he's not.
I don't think he's going. I don't think he'll have a chance to prove enough.
Also, let's not forget this quarterback draft is stacked. He would be stupid to leave right now. Quack. I know you're talking about guys that lose to Memphis, and that's fine. But remember, in the NFL draft, we don't care who you lose to because Trubisky gets drafted before Deshaun Watson.
You know who the CBSSports.com mock draft that I told you about last week that had six Clemson players in the first round, not including Dexter Lawrence, who's not eligible yet. Six. Four on defense, that's Mitch Hyatt, Deion Kane. They had Dorian O'Daniel. They had Christian Wilkins. They had Cleland Farrell. And they had Austin Bryant. All those guys going in the first 31 picks. Guess who's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Quarterbacks who never are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But every draft, we're like, those quarterbacks, well, the team number one's going to need a quarterback, and team number two's going to be a quarterback. And then you watch them play in that next year, and you're like, do they really need that quarterback that early? All the quarterback stocks are dropping.
Okay,
Allen's stock's dropping. Rosen's stock's dropping. Everybody's stock's dropping.
For real, though, Rosen, Allen, Darnold, Rudolph, even Mayfield. I mean, that's a lot of prospects.
Yeah.
It would be.
It's a lot.
This is a ridiculous
conversation. It's a lot. This is ridiculous. This is outrageous. It's not impossible, but I wouldn't. I think he's going to stay and be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless something changes.
And I know that we're focusing on, not really focusing on BC, maybe as we should, but I would say, can we focus on 2017 and not 2018?
I mean,
maybe?
We could. Do we really have to talk about BC?
No, but we can talk about Virginia Tech and other games and all sorts of stuff.
All right, here's a fun one. Three things I want to just point out before we go any further. The ACC announced football players of the week this week. Offensive back of the week, Kelly Bryan. I just want to read you the little blurb, okay? You ready? Offensive back of the week in the ACC, Kelly Bryan. Says Bryan completed 22 of 32 passes for 316 yards and a touchdown in Clemson's 47-21 win at number 14 Louisville. He added 26 yards rushing and two rushing scores, a total of career high, 342 yards of total offense and three total touchdowns. Then it talks about how he threw the ball to Ray McLeod. Bryan was most efficient in clutch situations as he completed 6 of 9 passes for 99 yards on third down.
Whoa.
Yo. As someone might say, yo. It marked the second consecutive win for Bryan over a top 15 team. He's the only FBS starting quarterback at this point in the season with two wins over top 15 teams, including one on the road. Boom.
Also saw Heather Dinich tweet out that in the last two games, Kelly Bryant passing is 12 of 16 on third down. That is insane.
Wow. Offensive lineman of the week, Taylor Hearn. You know, a lot has been made of right tackle. I understand the concerns about right tackle. Although, if you notice, it wasn't that bad. Really, a lot of the issues are Kelly Bryant not getting rid of the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Or Auburn's defense. Very good.
Even against Louisville last week, I'm yelling in the radio booth, get rid of it, get rid of it.
He's coming. Yeah, I agree.
It's just a lack of feel. That's another thing that NFL guys are going to watch and go, his lack of awareness in the pocket. That's something that some guys never get, but he may have a chance to get it. That's really his primary weakness right now, is a lack of awareness of the rush, especially when it comes from his backside. Taylor Hearn, offensive lineman of the week, graded a team best 92%, 77 plays, career high, tying 5 knockdown blocks, did not allow a sack, played guard and tackle apparently, was a major reason Clemson had 297-yard rushing. Then, the third player of the week, my man, Will Spires.
You need to talk about Will because you have been leading the Will Spires hype train, and you've been exactly right. You've been exactly right on that.
Spires averaged 51.8 yards on four punts. I just looked around. I did that thing where I look around like, did y'all see that? Yeah, that's right. I told y'all that was going to happen. The one time where he rolled the ball at the three, when it like went out of bounds at three, you know what I thought
that
about?
That was such a good point.
Remember when Spencer Lanning was at South Carolina and he used to rip Clemson's heart out by putting the ball at the two-inch line every time? That's what it felt like to me. 51.8 yard average on four punts, three of those attempts inside the 20, and one bounced from the 10 into the end zone for a touchback. Twice a redshirt freshman backed the Cardinals to their own five-yard line. Spires was a major reason. Louisville's average starting field position with its own 19-yard line. Spires' efforts included a 64-yarder and 58-yarder in the first half. Third best single-game punting average in the history of Clemson. Yo.
Last year's average yards per punt, 38.2.
Yo.
In this game against Louisville, 51.8.
It's a game changer.
That is not negligible.
When you can, Alabama it is like this with J.K. Scott. When you have a punter.
Yep. We've been saying this all summer.
You can win a 14-7 game, 14-6 like Clemson did against Auburn, if you've got a punter that can flip the field, and you can destroy a team. You can like put your foot on their throat and just squeeze the life out of a team if you can punt it 50 yards, because you're never losing a field position battle if that's the case. Unless they pin you back at the 5 and you boot it to the 45, you're basically nowhere on the field are you losing. You might play to a stalemate or a draw, but you're not going to lose if you do that. Now, he's got to keep it up. But for three games, Will Spires looks like the real deal. Speaking of the real deal, it seems pretty easy right now. I wonder, who's your top four? Who you buying right now? What's the ranking look like for Kelly Graham looking your top four? A little CFP preview.
I think you might be a little surprised.
Okay.
My number one team overall is Clemson.
Obviously. It's the defending champions, the best team in the country right now.
And you can't ignore those two wins. You just can't.
Right.
Two best wins in the country. The combination.
It's the best resume in the country right now. The best win, I think, is still Oklahoma at Ohio State.
I agree. They did. And that's why I have Oklahoma number two.
You have Oklahoma two?
I have Oklahoma number two.
Wow.
Because they have the best overall win in the country. Rankings work both ways, people. If you want to overrank Ohio State that much in the preseason, then you have to give credit to OU for the win that they had on Ohio State's home turf. And not just a win, a dominating performance, just like Clemson did against Louisville.
That's right.
So I have Oklahoma number two. I have Alabama number three.
Alabama.
Because I don't think beating FSU that's still an accomplishment, in my opinion.
And they knocked Francois out.
They did.
That's a big deal. They dominated that Florida State offense, I think, better than people realize.
They made that FSU offense look stupid. And we're not going to really realize how impressive that is this whole season, because the FSU offense will never look like it might have if Francois was healthy against lesser competition. So I want to give Bama credit for that. But besides the FSU win, their other two wins have been they've been playing nobodies, but it's not like they've really looked that great, in my opinion. And then my fourth team, Kwok, I think you're going to be surprised, but it's Oklahoma State.
Really? So you put Okie State in there.
And I have one main reason. Again, I am not going by, I don't care what the name of your jersey says, I don't care what conference you're in. Here's my reasoning, okay? Oklahoma State and Penn State have played at the same opponent. They each played Pittsburgh. Penn State hosted Pittsburgh. Oklahoma State went to Pittsburgh. Oklahoma State beat them 59-21. Penn State beat them 33-14. Oklahoma State gets to jump Penn State.
I get it. I think that's
my reasoning.
I wanted to put Oklahoma State in there, and in fact, I think you just gave me a nice reason why. I just feel like they're not going to put two from the Big 12.
Well, and that's fine. We're talking right here, right now, my top four teams in the country in terms of what I've seen on the field. I don't care what's going to happen in November. I don't care what conference you're in. I don't care any of that. To me, it is Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, Oklahoma State. Those are my top four.
Yeah,
and Penn State is number five.
I had Penn State number four because they've done what they're supposed to do, and they're the best team in the Big Ten, and I already had Oklahoma in.
But to me, you have a measuring stick in which to compare Penn State to Oklahoma State. It's very easy. They play the same team. And one of them hosted that team, and one of them went on the road, and Oklahoma State destroyed Pittsburgh on the road. Penn State dominated that game, don't get me wrong, but they didn't beat them as badly as Oklahoma State
did. They played their quarterback longer than a half.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is basically what Mason Rudolph did. I have Oklahoma State number four now because you gave me good reason, because their resume is better than
Penn
State.
There you go, Quack.
I have Oklahoma number three, but I understand putting them at two. I have Alabama
you have
two.
Win.
I have Alabama two because I still think that Florida State win on a neutral field is impressive, and you can reliably ask the question about Oklahoma: what will they do against a really good offense? Because they hadn't played a really good offense yet. I have major. I mean, you heard me talk about it in the run up. I don't think Ohio State's personnel is that good. Like, I think their offense is going to seem pretty normal, pretty average against good teams all year. I mean, whether they're good on defense or not. So I still have questions about Oklahoma's defense that you can't answer against UTEP or Tulane or Baylor or Iowa State or maybe even Texas. I may not know for sure whether I'm fully all in, both feet in with Oklahoma until like back half of the year when they start playing teams like Kansas State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, that kind of stuff. You know
right.
what I mean?
And I think we do get to see a little bit about Oklahoma State this weekend, which I'm excited about. They will play TCU, and Penn State plays at Iowa, which is also a good test for those two programs. So maybe we'll see kind of a clear-cut number four team, depending on how those two teams perform this weekend.
Mayfield, UTEP, by the way, in terms of the FPI, is the worst team in America. UTEP's the worst team in America. So that's on Oklahoma's resume. So
the
I kind of bounces
in America.
Legit, number 130. Worst team Yeesh. In America. Yeah, that's worse than Georgia State, who Penn State beat by 56 the other day. Anyway, I have Oklahoma 3. I have Alabama 2. I almost put Alabama 3, and the reason I did is because they have a quarterback issue. That's their one. The one question for me about Oklahoma State is, yeah, they beat Pittsburgh, but how good is that really? How good is their defense when they get pushed? I mean, they gave up a ton of yards and points to Tulsa, more yards and points than I was comfortable with. Oklahoma. At number three. Number two, Alabama. They've got a quarterback question. Big quarterback question. Can Jalen Hurts? I think Jalen Hurts is fine. He may not be the best, but he's fine, and he can get them back where they want to go. I fully believe they can win a national championship with Jalen Hurts if things go right for them. But the best team in the country is Clemson.
Do you know
period.
What else Alabama has? I think they have a bit of a running game question because they're leading rusher so far this season. Is Jalen Hurts. So I'm not quite
sure.
They
got a run game issue. They got an offensive line issue, maybe?
I mean, we know Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough are both very talented. But through three games, Harris has 158 yards and Bo Scarborough has 142. So, I mean, should your leading rusher be Jalen Hurts if you're Alabama? I don't know. Maybe that's okay with Nick Saban. I'm not sure.
You know, it's interesting.
Also, how about this question? Real quickly,
yeah.
You want to compare Jalen Hurts' numbers to Kelly Bryant?
Yeah.
They're similar-ish players,
that.
Right?
Yeah, I would think so. They're that dual threat with the mobility to be primary runners at some points.
Real quickly, if you're just tuning in, Kelly Bryant, 733 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 162 rush yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts so far, 472 yards passing through 3 games.
Okay.
67.9% completion.
That's including, by the way, Colorado State, who's decent, like an 8-9 win, group of 5. And then who else did they play? Who did they play?
Fresno State,
yeah, who's terrible.
4 touchdowns passing. So Jalen Hurts, 472 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. On the ground, 312 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. So Jalen Hurts has been responsible for 7 touchdowns. Same total number as Kelly Bryant. Hurts has 4 through the air, 3 on the ground. Bryant has 2 through the air, 5 on the ground. And Bryant has passed for 300 more yards, roughly. And Hurts has rushed for like 150 more yards.
And if you look at defensive stats, like efficiency stats, I'm just using FPI because it's in front of my face. Look at Auburn's defensive stats. Now, their offense is a doo-doo sandwich, and their quarterback, it drove him to drink that he couldn't be better than the offense that they have. Auburn's defense, though, is ranked 10th in the FPI. That's a pretty good defense right there. Pretty good defense that's allowed 7, 14, and 10 points in 3 games. That's a really good test. In my opinion, Auburn is as good as Florida State's defense going up against them. Comparing Bryant to Hurst.
I was going
to
ask which defense you think is better.
I would give a slight edge to Florida State because of track record there and because I think Auburn lost a good bit. But I think they're pretty similar. Let me check and see what Florida State's defense is ranked. I know they haven't played as many games. They're ranked 7th. So, again, they've only played 1 game. They played against Alabama. They're ranked 7th in the FPI.
That's the hard thing with Florida State is we've seen them once. So we really haven't seen much. And we've seen them kind of in their what could have been mowed. I mean, now we know Francois is not there. So how are they going to look with James Blackman? We have no idea. We have no idea.
I agree. 654 Roar is the number. Final segment. How about a little stock watch, recapping some games from the weekend? We'll do that, plus your phone calls, texts, and tweets when Out of Bounds returns for our final segment next.
Hey, Clemson fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
A need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
If you have problems with the IRS, don't trust your personal information to a stranger on the other end of a 1-800 number. The Green Law Firm is local and looking out for you. For a free strategy session, call 271-7940.
Football is here and winter weather is not far behind. Get Old Man Winter ready by shopping Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Vent-free gas logs heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, so they keep you warm even during a power failure. Choose from over 20 burning models of vented and vent-free logs with natural or propane gas. Shop and save at Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, for everything your hearth desires.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Did you ever think you could get a compact tractor for $99 a month? You can! Get a John Deere 123E with quick attach features and our 6-year powertrain warranty, starting at just $99 a month. Call Greenville Turf and Tractor in Malden today. Disclaimer: offer ends October 27, 2017. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial for commercial use only. 20% down payment required. Taxes, freight, setup, and delivery charges could increase monthly payment. Warranty limitations may apply. Consumer offers available. Price and model availability vary by dealer.
What business doesn't like to save a little money where they can? Crute LED has partnered with Duke Power to do just that. Whether you need LED tube lights, $4 after rebate, LED high bay fixture, $79 after rebate, parking pole light, $99 after rebate, or 6-inch down lights, $4 after rebate, Crute LED will pass on Duke Power rebate upfront to you with a verification of your business Duke Power bill. Visit online at CruteLED.com or visit their office at 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, South Carolina. Call now at 864-401-8506 or email sales@CruteLED.com.
Hurry up, guys. We got to get to the game and set up our tailgate.
Honey, the toilet is overflowing and backing up everywhere.
We are not missing the game.
Mom, Charlie is splashing in the water, and I'm ready to go.
Hello, Roto-Rooter. This is Dan Fan, and I'm trying to get to the game, but the toilet is overflowing. I need you here fast. Even on game day, count on Roto-Rooter. Call 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Football season is here, and it's time to score big and get in on the action with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is an industry-leading website and the best place for you to cash in on all the insane last-minute drives, huge upsets, and heart-pounding finishes. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. They have in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, plus a user-friendly mobile site so you never miss a single play. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. Call 844-900-2387 or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. That's 844-900-BETS. Or go online to mybookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Win with the best only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
I'm Guy, the insurance guy. Did you know that only 5% of HR execs believe employees truly understand their benefits? This may be related to the fact that the vast majority of enrollments, 71%, are passive. Insurance is an abstract and very complex product, so clear, effective communication is critical. Without it, everyone has headaches and is left in the dark. Did you know that with effective communication, even a below-average plan has 76% employee satisfaction? If employees don't understand something, it has little to no value. If it has no value, employees leave. Don't get taken to the cleaners. Call us, 864-INSURE-YOU. I'm Guy, the insurance guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, football season, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom, just because. Online purchase and print from your computer.
Locked up
only
tight
at
in
Urban
the Priority
Nirvana.
One Security Studios.
Clemson, Greenville.
Where sports is our priority. We are WCCP.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
Now, back to Quack and Kelly on 105.5 The Roar.
So much more to say about this game. I mean, so much big picture. I mean, who were the better player? Man, boy, Ray McLeod didn't fumble, but he sure was the best player on the field at times.
That was Raymond.
That was Raymond Ray. He showed up. Did you see what he said to the media today? I hate that people say stuff like this. Come on, man. Use your head.
You hate his response or the question?
I hate his response.
What did he say?
You know, he was asked about Dabo saying that he really matured a lot. His response was, I think I was pretty mature when I got here. Don't! No, you weren't. Oh, no, you weren't for at least 2 years. And maybe, like, within the last couple weeks. No, you weren't. Oh, man. That's up there with the Jordan Leggett. I'll try a little harder next year, but right now I'm just kind of loving life. That's right up there with that, which is the greatest press conference.
Was that Leggett his freshman year?
That was freshman. That was right after he started playing. He's like, yeah, you know, the coaches told me I needed to take it more seriously. You know, if I want to play more, and honestly, I'm pretty good at what I'm doing right now. we kept looking around each other. I've told the story 100 times. We kept looking around each other to see who was going to ask the next question because we knew once he left, we wouldn't hear from him again. So we need to take advantage of that opportunity.
Right. You're not going out to the media ever again.
Just want to repeat what you just said one more time, just for posterity's sake.
We do need to give Ray Ray some credit, though. He came
what
to play.
What a baller.
He came to play against Louisville and really against Auburn. He came to play.
How about Tavian Feaster?
Feast mode.
Other than almost hurting his quarterback with one of the worst blitz pickups.
Hey. Stop pointing out the negative quote. Let's focus on the positive.
He made the A-gap blitzer look like a fly, basically, I thought it was War Eagle. I thought we were playing Auburn again. The War Eagle flying over the stadium. Because it looked like the guy jumped 10 feet in the air, but really he just hurdled a face down Tavian Feaster. That was hideous. And now you see why CJ Fuller has to play some with that blitz pickup. I saw the sixth blitzer and I thought, all right, unless they motion somebody, this is Feaster. I saw six in the box. They're all coming. Feaster's going at the blitz. And as soon as that ball was snapped, I was like, oh no. I really did. I was like, oh no. Get it out. That's what it was. I was like, throw it away. Get it out. Throw it away.
Okay, but besides that lapse in vision, Feaster was excellent.
9.2 yards a carry, 92 yards on 10 carries. He's got to be your feature back. You use Fuller.
Feature Feaster?
Feaster the featured. Featured Feaster.
Feastered.
Your Feastered. And now, your Feaster presentation. You know, like old VHS
What
tapes.
About the tweets we've been seeing? Hashtag free ETN. Have you been seeing this?
No.
Hashtag free ETN.
You got to use him in spots, though. He's such
All right, well,
just
that's,
a little baby.
That's considered freeing him.
He's
use him in certain
baby.
Spots. Don't keep him on the bench because he's too dang fast.
That play.
He is too dang fast.
Not only did he cut up field, not only, and we know Bobby Petrino's playing his ones, right?
Sure.
Because Lamar's out there.
End.
So you can't say that every coach's son was playing. Like you could when, like every relative of every coach or staff member was playing at the end of the game for Clemson. Mercy. But you can't say that about Louisville's defense. He cut up field, broke a tackle, then got knocked off stride and still accelerated ahead of everybody with the longest run for a Clemson freshman in 72 years. Bobby Gage, 1945, post-World War II touchdown run. Unbelievable. I love that run from ETN. I thought that was exceptional. Apparently, that's what they see every day in practice.
He was the leading rusher in the game.
Yeah, with that one run.
Which is crazy.
The best runner on the field was Feaster. Jackson was...
For sure.
We will minimize what Lamar Jackson did because we should, but he was magnificent, and he made some plays that nobody else in the country are going to make.
Without a doubt.
Goodness gracious. Let's take one more phone call before I... Quite abbreviated version of stock, but we have a lot of stuff, but I just don't have a lot to say about them. Seminole Ted, our final phone call today. What's up, Ted?
Hey, thanks for giving me in. I want to say, a piece of candy. I had to get family got quoted in there.
Yes.
So, Clemson did great Saturday. I mean, they can't play the victim card, the underdog card anymore because they are the premier team in the ACC right now. Yeah, I thought that Florida State could contend, but I just don't know how we're going to find a way to beat that offense. Our defense is good, but you're taking a brand new quarterback. You got a rookie running back. I don't see how we're going to compete with that. I'm curious to see how we're going to do against NC State because they're good against the run, and I'm not convinced that we can run right now. It's not like we've got Dalvin Cook in the backfield, so. 3 weeks off is probably going to be very bad for Florida State. I'm hoping that they've had a lot of time to work on some surprise packages, though. What are your comments? And I'll take them off here.
Ted, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. While Ted was talking, the Feaster Ole pass block was up there, and now Kelly's dying. She's out. She's down for the count. That was kind of bad. But Feaster did run like a man possessed, and it was clear. It was clear that he was about to break a big run. When he scored, I think he almost scored like three times in the game. I thought he was going to score about three times. Ben Milstead called it every time. He's like, you're about to break it. Ooh!
Ben was fun. On that pass block, if Feaster had one of those punter towels that Spires has, yes. And if the towel was orange, he would have looked like a matador.
Woo!
But yes. Besides that, Feaster
was great. Yeah, it was real good. Seminole Ted brings up a really good point, though. With Florida State and NC State, I will say this. Like, I'm going to make an Old Testament example. Like, you know, the walls of Jericho fell after they basically just showed up and marched, and then they blew their trumpets. Just show up and march around NC State, blow your trumpets, and they will collapse at the end. Much like when they went to Clemson last year. You don't have to be great. You don't ask South Carolina. You can get out game 2-1. They are incapable of beating a good team. They have not done it. They will not done it. They refuse to do it. It is in their DNA to lose to any team with any modicum of a pulse. If you can be revived, you will beat NC State. If you're dead, you will raise like Lazarus from the dead and beat NC State. And they will die because that's what they do, Doran.
Not even just a good team, a bowl team.
I don't even want music because it's going to be so quick. It's time for Stock Watch. Stock up to Mason Rudolph. Ladies and gentlemen, how about this guy? Mason Rudolph, 500, basically in the first half, and then it was nap time for him as they coasted to a 5-score victory over Pittsburgh on the road. Sign me up again. Co-sign again. Write it in more permanent marker that this guy's winning the Heisman Trophy.
So you're very much picking him right now.
Double down Heisman, no doubt about it. I picked him before the year. I'm picking him now. Stock down to Sean White. Auburn's offense drove him to drink, and he was so drunk that at 3:30 he was arrested for public intoxication. That's after being suspended for the first two games for violation of team rules. I understand watching that offense be a doo-doo sandwich, and you knowing that you were the starter last year, they brought in another guy, and then you still couldn't keep the job. Like, this guy's not even playing that well. Jared Stidham, he's not even playing that well right now, and you can't win the job. He has totally rebelled. This guy may have some issues, for real, about, like, getting a job and then losing him. But you should have played better last year, buddy. Yeah, when you're a little milquetoast, mamby-pamby quarterback, you're going to get beat out by the guy they brought in. His situation's tough. I don't want to minimize it, but he basically just rebelled. He was like a rebellious child when his dad told him he couldn't go out on a Friday night. He tried to sneak out the window and got busted for public intoxication at 3:30. That's what happened.
Also, don't forget the real story here. I mean, that is the real story, but the other story that Auburn needed a late touchdown to beat Mercer by double digits at home.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
I'm okay because they got punched in the mouth at Clemson. And that's a little bit of a struggle right there. That hangover game where with an easy opponent after you get crushed. Like, I think Louisville's going to have a hangover next week against Kent State. Now, they're going to win by 30, but it's going to look like a hangover.
Kent State. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Is
Poor
the
Kent.
Second best team in the SEC West Auburn or Mississippi State?
It's Mississippi State. In fact, stock up to Mississippi State. 37-7. I can't believe it. I've been so good and so consistent.
A lot of people wanted to pick Mississippi State, but just didn't have the guts. And I was one of them.
Man, I didn't have the guts. I apologize to Dan Mullen. I've been his biggest fan and proponent in the upstate, and I didn't feel it this time. I bought into LSU's defense being for real. No. Mississippi State destroyed LSU in every facet of that game. It was a bully beatdown of epic proportions. Well done, Mississippi State. Stock down to Nebraska. Days after giving Mike Riley a one-year extension to 2020, Sean Eichhorst came out and talked about how frustrated and angry he was that Nebraska lost to a non-Power 5 team at home for the first time in 13 years and was shut out in the first half for the first time in the Riley era, 21-17, against Northern Illinois, whose coach is on a hot seat. Not just a magnet. We're not talking Dave Doran or Jerry Kill's Northern Illinois. We're talking Rod Carey's Northern Illinois, where they basically wanted to fire him last year before he won like four in a row to close the year.
More frustrated fan base. Nebraska's, LSU's.
Nebraska. Nebraska was at the tip top of the mountain. Nebraska has had losing seasons with multiple coaches.
Nebraska wasn't at the top of the mountain recently.
Nebraska hired a coach from Oregon State.
Okay, but LSU.
Nebraska should be able to hire somebody better than that.
LSU won a national championship 10 years ago, and now they're losing in Starksville.
LSU likes Orgeron, though.
All right.
He talks kind of like they do, and I still don't do a good Coach O impression.
I still feel bad for both those fan bases.
Brent Seifel at Orgeron. Stock up to Derek Mason, who won at home against a ranked opponent for the first time since Bill Snyder was like 2 years old.
Anchor down.
14-7 Vandy. Kansas State wasn't great in the game. By the way, there were only like four or five teams that had played two games with no turnovers, and Kansas State and Vandy were both of them, and they both were sloppy at times. But props to Vandy for playing a full 60-minute game against a good opponent, Kansas State, and making plays time after time after time to get off the field. They were driving, turned about, I think it was in the third, fourth, maybe fourth quarter, where they turned the ball over to Kansas State deep, like down about the time to score. And then they took the ball away from Kansas State and ended up scoring on the drive. Resilient team for Vandy. That defense has yet to give up double digits. They will push Alabama for three quarters or so in Nashville next week. Alabama's got their full attention, though.
Vandy's going to push Bama.
Is Bama's offense going to move?
We'll see.
I mean, I don't think Vandy's going to score, don't get me wrong. But is Bama's offense that, like, they beat Colorado State by 18. Is Vandy's defense better than Colorado State, better than Fresno? How many points are they going to score? 24? 24
to
7?
It's going to be 24-0.
It's going to be like 24-7 or something, yeah. Okay. 24-6. Yeah, but, it'll be, 14-6 going to the fourth quarter, I think. Bama's not pulling away from anybody with that offense. Stock down to David Shaw. Boy, that honeymoon after that trip to Australia.